This is The Source on Texas Public Radio 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The countdown is on for the end of Timbo's Burgers. The Broadway burger joint near the Pearl has been serving up hips-inspired hamburgers since 2007. Recently, the owner learned that their lease is up and they have to go. They are the victim of the rising popularity of the Broadway corridor, and they aren't alone. Other food favorites are also being squeezed out. Development along Broadway Street between downtown and Alamo Heights continues to transform this major part of the city. Proposition 1 on the city's proposed 2017 bond package would spend a total of $337 million improving streets, bridges, and sidewalks throughout San Antonio. Prop 1 also allocates $42 million to reconstruct Broadway Street corridor from East Houston Street to East Hildebrand Avenue with curbs, sidewalks, driveway approaches, bicycle amenities, lighting, drainage, and other traffic improvements as appropriate, according to the bond language. San Antonio voters have less than a month to decide whether or not to approve any or all of these six different bond proposals on the May 6th ballot. How is development affecting the living area and operations of the businesses along the corridor, even people who want to use those businesses? If approved, how would the bond's proposed changes affect daily life in the area? What does the future look like for Broadway? And are we going to get the Broadway that San Antonians really want? Give us a call. We want to hear from you. The number to call in for the join the conversation is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. With us to talk about it this afternoon, Mike Frisbee. He's a city engineer and director of the city's Transportation and Capital Improvements Department. Tony Piazzi, he is a CFO, COO of the Downtown Advocacy Group, Centro San Antonio. Mike Bravo is with us. He's president of the West Fort Alliance Neighborhood Association. That's Mankey. And also with us is Butch Hayes, the board treasurer for Mankey Park Neighborhood Association. So lots of voices in on this conversation, and we hope to include you. Give us a call, 210-614-8980. So, Tony Piazzi with the Central San Antonio, talk about how Broadway has changed over the last, they say, 10 years.
Well, it has changed tremendously, Dave. It's been investments by a lot of entities, really catalyzed at the very beginning for the investment in the museum Reach of the River. That really showcased the opportunities that you could have along that corridor, connecting the river to downtown and connecting to cultural institutions. And that started to catalyze other activity, and probably the one that everybody is most familiar with is the Pearl. So we've heard it said before that if the museum reach and the investments in the museum reach that the city and the county made hadn't happened, then the Pearl probably doesn't happen. And as you see that development take place, and it proved up the fact that Broadway is a vibrant and can be a vibrant area, it started to lead to some other investment. Over the last 10 years, there's been $270 million invested in development along the Broadway corridor, the cultural institutions along the corridor, over $500 million invested in those institutions along the corridor, and we're continuing to see it. We're seeing residential development take place. There's recently been some announcements of some additional commercial development in the corridor. So we really think it's a vibrant area and really now becoming more and more of a destination. And the idea is here, how do you create a great street that can make connections to the neighborhoods, that can connect people to this destination, but also be a through street to go into downtown and other parts of our community?
We're also joined by District 2 City Councilmember Alan Warwick. He's on the line. And Councilman Warwick, welcome to the conversation. Where are you seeing the transformation of Broadway happening with this bond?
Yes, I'm seeing the transformation of Broadway happening along the corridor from East Houston Street downtown all the way to Hildebrand. And there's going to be huge transformations that are already occurring at Josephine, Jones, and you see these buildings coming up, and it's definitely something that the community is concerned about and want to make sure that the city's design efforts and the city's planning efforts are moving the conversation forward with the neighborhoods leading the way.
Okay, so your District 2, I mean, Broadway is kind of like a boundary of it. You have one side of Broadway, and then is a district...
I have one side up until Mulberry, and then after Mulberry, I have both sides of Broadway going all the way up to the border with Alamo Heights.
So you have a lot of residential area on your side of it, though, right?
Yes, Government Hill, Dignity Hill, Westport, and Mackey Park all align right either blocks or right adjacent to Broadway along that corridor.
So what are you hearing from the residents, the people who are going to have to live with the transformation of Broadway, what they want out of it?
Well, they want to know that their points of view have been taken into consideration when these decisions are being made, and it's not just the large developers that have, you know, that have done a great deal of positive change on Broadway, but they haven't integrated the citizens in a lot of these conversations. So we want to be sure that the citizens are integrated and make sure that their voice is heard and they're able to shape some of these changes that are going to impact their lives for the next 20, 30, 40 years.
Okay, Lynn, well, let me get in a representative of these neighborhoods. We've got Joe Bravo with us, president of the Westport Alliance Neighborhood Association. And what are you expressing?
So I have talked with Mankey Park and Government Hill, but I don't represent them. Westport is right in the middle of all this. So we have seen tremendous change, some good, some challenging. We are concerned about impact to traffic. We're concerned about developers not having to do some of those impacts. And I particularly am concerned about how the policy is written at the city on things like TCI that doesn't get all the information they need to help inform some of these decisions. What is important is that they're going to make decisions that are going to affect us for years and years to come. And if you do it wrong, if people don't move from 40, I think they want 40% of us to try a different mode of movement, either through a bus or bicycle. If we don't make that leap and we're still using cars, we potentially could be either trapped in our neighborhoods or not have the ability to enter and exit. Some of the capacities around that is already at beyond the ellipse of what they should be.
So, like, if you're on Broadway and you want to get on I-35, that's kind of a mess.
Well, it's tough. You got to go through the east side and back around and underneath 35 and get on the feeder road going up.
Is that going to be fixed? Anyone know? Is that something that's on the table, Councilman Warwick?
I can address David.
So let's get that's Mike Frisby from the City of San Antonio Department of Transportation.
So the Broadway project is not going to change the freeway configuration.
But how we can get on.
Right.
Because, to get on to I-35 north from Broadway, you have to go up and cross through, like, New Braunfels, and it's kind of messed up, right?
Right. So TxDOT has been looking at different interchanges along 281, but that is separate. We're not going to be addressing that with the Broadway project. But there are some confusion connections there that need to be looked at, but that'll be a separate deal. I will go back. Let me just touch, David, on before freeways, we had the Broadways, the Fredericksburg Road, the military highways, Zarzamora's, Callahan, all these major super arterials. And a lot of those had seven lanes for traffic, three each way, center turn lane. That's what Broadway has today. It's big. It's made for massive traffic. Go as fast as you can to get where you want. That's not really the vision for the future here. There's a lot of pedestrian activity. There's a need for more modes of transportation and a quality of life here. So we are looking at it, but we do carefully. If the voters approve the bond, then we'll move into traffic studies. We'll work with the neighborhoods, get everybody involved in the process of design.
Okay, we do want to hear from residents of the area. Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. As we talk about the future of Broadway and that corridor and this bond project, stay tuned. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the future of San Antonio's Broadway Street Corridor. You go down Broadway on any given evening, pretty much now, and you're going to see a lot of activity, a lot of bikes going up and down, a lot of people walking around. It's not easy to walk around that area. We've seen areas kind of blossom before in San Antonio and then collapse under their own weight of the popularity. And it's not sustainable because there wasn't a proper leadership or there was pushback from neighborhoods because they weren't brought into the conversation early enough. We're wondering what's going to happen to Broadway. How do we maximize the good parts of what's happening to Broadway, minimize the negative impact on the neighborhoods that live in that area, and we'll create something that is just a jewel for the city of San Antonio? We have a bond in front of us that the San Antonio voters are going to be going to weigh in on May the 6th, and there is $42 million as a line item in Prop 1, which could redevelop Broadway. But are we going to get the Broadway that San San Antonians want. That's our conversation this afternoon. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. And so let's get a caller in on this. And Daryl is on the line. Daryl, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on the air today.
Great. Go ahead.
I would really like to see Broadway kind of take the lines of the continuation of the beautification of downtown and be more friendly towards bicycle traffic, towards, you know, pedestrian traffic, you know, even accommodations for people who maybe are older and can't get around like that, to have small motorized, different.
Sure.
Different excesses that are more friendly towards the individual and not so encouraging to automobile traffic.
All right, Joe. Thank you so much for that, Daryl. Thank you for that feedback. We appreciate that. So that's an interesting point. We're seeing big plans for the redevelopment of Alamo Plaza, and that's pretty much where Broadway leads right into. And Alamo Plaza going to have a lot of street closures there. There's going to be a lot of traffic. Who knows what's going to happen? Are we thinking about this as one seamless marriage of these two things, or not? Anyone want to take that?
Well, if you don't mind, and then Mike, follow up the...
Okay, that's Tony Piazzi from Central San Antonio.
As I said earlier, really looking at Broadway as a key piece about connections. And that does mean connecting to the neighborhoods, to Joe's point. It does mean connecting to the cultural institutions along Broadway. It does mean connecting into downtown and the tremendous amenities that are not only there today but are coming down the road. So whether it's a reimagined Alamo Plaza or its Hemisphere or its Zona Cultural over on the near west side. So, for example, Broadway goes into Houston Street, and you can go to the left and you're going towards Alamo Plaza. You can go to the right, you go down Broadway, you'll go past the new Frost Tower, and you come onto Zona Cultural. So it really is not looking at these things in isolation. So creating these types of connections. Houston Street is a great street. It's pedestrian friendly. It's traffic calmed in terms of it's only, you know, one lane in each direction. So how do you carry something like that going up Broadway, coming out of downtown? So having tree-lined areas, having walkable sidewalks, and sidewalks that can accommodate people that are in scooters, other modes of transportation. So it really is, I think, looking at it in a big picture way and understanding that all of these pieces have to weave together if we're going to have a great city, a great downtown, and a great cultural quarter.
Butch Hayes over at Mankey Park Neighborhood Association. Mankey Park's kind of the center of the bullseye of all of this development. Butch, what are y'all seeing?
Well, I want to reflect some of what Joe said, too. And it's exciting to see how vibrant Broadway is becoming. But at the same time, access for our people here in Manatee Park to other parts of the city is going to be very important. And if the plan goes forward, as some of us have seen it with a boulevard on Broadway, we have some concern of the tightening of the traffic. And I was glad to hear the need for a traffic study, because we can see when 281 blocks up, guess who gets the traffic? We see that tie up of traffic too, and we're excited to see with the museums, and Whitty is such a jewel for the city now, and the Dolceum, but they do cause some traffic concerns that we have.
So, you want to take that, Joe?
Well,
Bravo.
I want to speak to that, because I really want people, and I would encourage your listeners to go and look up the code that the city uses for traffic impact. And that says that they're are required to do them, but developers use their own consultants to do that. So, yes, good, bad, or indifferent, that they do their own consulting. They give that to the city, and only if they're required to do a traffic impact study, that the city gets to see it and perhaps make the connection of threshold. So if they don't, they don't see that.
Right, but so Mike Frisbee, you're the city engineer, director of the city's transportation and capital improvements department. The city doesn't get any jollies out of creating congested traffic, I don't imagine.
Right. David, a couple points here. Yeah, we have to move traffic on Broadway, no doubt about it. There's a lot of need to get through, but we can do a lot better than just moving traffic as fast as we can. But to Joe's point, there's two ways to do the traffic analysis. For our city projects, we do the traffic studies with our consultants, and it's a lot of community involvement as part of that. And that's the next step after voters approve a bond program. We're not going to do that yet because it's not funded, and so that's the next step after voter approval. On a developer traffic study, you know, we have experts at the city that review those traffic impacts analysis that come in. So we're reviewing those, making sure it's accurate. And yeah, there's a threshold. If there's a development that doesn't produce much traffic, then they don't have to do a study like that. But it's a pretty low threshold.
So can I give an example? So Alamo Community College has got 400 to 650 people going into that corridor. They did a traffic study. But in the meantime, they became infill, which is one of the exceptions here. It's called IND.
Right? Okay, I think we're really getting into the weeds here.
Well, they don't have to complete their traffic study. And that many people are going to be coming through that area because they got different status.
Okay, but we're dealing with, what is the bottom line?
I think that you have to put together the developer's traffic requirements with the city's sort of their own way of doing things, which is they have to look at the bigger picture to make informed decisions. And when you're so pro-development and people can and cannot do traffic studies based on exceptions, they can't see the whole picture. We can't see the whole picture.
Right. And to that end, we know that it's making Broadway a highway is to move traffic only is not what this is about. Mike Frisbee?
Right. It's not a pass-through. We don't want it to just be a pass-through. We want it to be a place, you know. And so we need to move traffic, but in a safe manner. And then we really want it to be vibrant, you know, aesthetically and for pedestrians and other modes, mass transit, of course. So all of that. But it all has to work together.
And Mike Piazzi, looking at some of the conceptual drawings that the Central San Antonio has developed, we're seeing protected pathways for bikers. We're seeing a lot of walkability areas. And are these two things mutually exclusive? We're going to have congested traffic and these other things or what?
Yeah. Well, I think great points that are being made, you know, Butch and Joe both and Mike as well. It really is, you know, you talk about getting into the weeds, David, but there's a big picture here. Our community is growing. And all of our major corridors, whether it's Broadway, Fredericksburg Road, throughout our community, you know, Mike and his team in the city is really looking at this from a very, very big picture is how are we going to accommodate all of this growth?
But people are on biking now on Broadway.
Yes,
bikers have
yes,
made that a corridor for them. And we need to make sure that they're able to do that safely.
Absolutely.
And that it doesn't interfere with traffic flow.
Absolutely. So we look at, for example, through this, again, conceptual design, because there's a full design process that'll go once the bond initiatives are approved. How do we make the connections? The bike community is on Alamo. The bike community is on Avenue B. How do we make those connections as seamless as possible? And you know, some bikers will go where bikers will go, but we're trying to give them options along that corridor. We definitely want to accommodate the public transit options. You know, VIA has their cultural corridor, VIVA route. We want to accommodate that. We do, as a community, have to look at how do we have alternative modes of transportation to accommodate our growth. And Broadway, I think, presents an opportunity for us to see how to integrate and layer in those other modes of transportation.
Make another caller, Patty. Hi, Patty. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, David. Hi, gentlemen. Listen, I'm a resident of Government Hill. My husband and I bought our home in 1997 because we felt as though this neighborhood was going to do nothing but improve, and we're excited about all the changes that are occurring. Our concern about Broadway is that as it improves and brings in more exciting things, a lot of our older residents here feel like gentrification process is pushing them out and causing taxes to go up and things like that. Is there anything in the works to mitigate the effect on some of the older citizens and long-term residents?
Okay, Patty, thank you for the call. Let me turn that over to Butch Hayes over at Mankey Park Neighborhood Association. What concern, I guess this is a concern that you're hearing, and what remedies are out there?
Yes, we have heard the concern about gentrification and the intrusion from Broadway into the housing area, where you do have a certain amount of the overlay for the Broadway corridor, but then when you all of a sudden are the one that has that house next to it,
there's some concern. And hopefully we can work with the city on looking at those zoning changes, because we have people, as we've seen, asking for zoning variances to bring, you start pulling the businesses into the neighborhood, and that is a major concern.
Right. So
we know there has to be change and development, but sure, you don't want to put a business in the middle of a residential area.
Right. And so Joe Bravo for the Westward Alliance, same thing?
Yes. Yeah, right. So at peak times on Broadway, we have older people living in our neighborhood that don't feel aggressive enough to pull out onto that busy highway. And all of this, no one's sitting here.
Broadway, the highway.
So no one's sitting here saying that we don't want to do the things that are envisioned. I think it's a great opportunity for the city to sort of meet its potential. We want methodical input from our citizens to make sure that those nuances along that corridor from neighborhoods are heard, and that we see the true traffic impact, and everybody has to put forth what they're doing to impact that corridor.
But at the bottom line that I'm seeing here, Mike Frisbee, that Broadway and the success of Broadway is important to the city's overall economic health, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, Dave, we've got our Essay Tomorrow plan, which lays out what we need to do between now and 2040 to handle the growth. And there's a dozen corridors that are focused, but Broadway is one that there's, as Tony said, there's already a lot of catalytic activity going on there. It is transforming, and the thing that's not transforming is the road. And so it needs to take those next steps with the community involved.
And getting Broadway right is important to the future of downtown, Tony Piazzi.
Well, it really is, because it is about connecting. And Centro, our mission is to bring resources and people together to create a vibrant and prosperous downtown that the entire community can benefit from. It was mentioned yesterday, Councilman Trevino, at a State of the Center City Remarks, talked about the fact that, you know, you can have strong arms, strong legs, and if your heart of your body isn't working, then this doesn't matter. And we feel the same way about our downtown. So having strong corridor connections is very, very important. And it goes both ways. You know, there's a growing downtown community, more people working downtown, more people living downtown that do need to connect to other parts of the community. So it really is a two-way street, but it's a tremendous opportunity for us. But it's about balance, because the neighborhoods are a part of the fabric of our community, and we wouldn't want to see anything happen in a destination project like Broadway's is that suddenly makes the community and the neighborhoods feel like they're cut off from the rest of the community.
Right, but you know, we see how people choose to use Broadway now, and they're using it despite that this is not what Broadway was designed for. We have the bikers, we have the joggers, we have the walkers, and they really want a Broadway that is, part of a modern city with all of these amenities. So moving people up and down Broadway doesn't necessarily mean doing it in cars. I mean, and do you see that, Joe Bravo?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, that's a viable option. But in the meantime, we keep signing development contracts and putting density there that are going to need people to get in and out.
Who's signing development contracts?
The city.
Okay, the city's not, I mean, there are people who have owned property up and down Broadway,
sure,
and they're
sure.
going to be doing
they,
that.
They allow for zoning to changes like the Alamo College.
So the concern is about this really big, dense developments happening up and down Broadway. Are we putting too many people in that area with these big, dense developments? We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. It was in 1914 that Broadway was conceived. They wanted to have a big, wide, straight corridor linking downtown San Antonio with the community of Alamo Heights. It was built for cars. But now, a century later, we're looking at Broadway again, not just for cars, but also for people who want to bike, people who want mass transit, people who want to run, jog, and people who want to walk and have with a nice green canopy. They're looking at changes to Broadway. But are you ready for a different kind of Broadway? Are you going to get the Broadway that you want? Prop 1 on the May 6th ballot for the bond, six different props on the ballot that day. But Prop 1 allocates $42 million for reconstructing Broadway Street. We invite you into our conversation. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And so let's go to caller with David. And David, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm the volunteer CEO of TechBlock. We're a movement of tech workers and tech companies in town. I just want to say that Broadway is connected, the investment in Broadway is connected to building a tech economy in town. And people may not see the connection directly, but quickly, our future prosperity is going to be tied to our ability to build a vibrant tech economy locally. And the fuel to that is tech talent, particularly young tech talent. And tech talent across the country is increasingly attracted to urban, livable, walkable zones that are a vibrant part of a city's urban core. So Broadway is a big part of that story. A lot of people are investing in downtown along Houston Street to build what we're calling a San Antonio Tech Corridor or Tech District. And if people don't understand, I just want to make it clear that the tech industry is behind Broadway 100%. And the comments by Mike Frisbee are spot on. Cars are important, but over time with technology, they're going to become less important over time, we believe. And also, it's really about placemaking. So it is important to get cars in and out of downtown, but it's really important that we build places that urban young tech workers want to live, work, and play inside of, and it's a big part of our future. Thank you.
So Tony Piazzi, CEO of Centro San Antonio Downtown Advocacy Group. How is this all part of an overall strategy to make San Antonio an attractive place for tech workers?
Well, certainly, as David mentioned, we have to diversify our economy. I mean, I think fundamental to successful cities is you don't want to have your eggs in one basket. We have a vibrant visitor industry. The military community has been incredibly good for San Antonio. This opportunity to bring in the tech industry and grow that industry, I think, is very, very important.
You saw the Hulu's moving here. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, we recently had an announcement of a Capture RX on Houston Street that could have gone somewhere else, but is going to grow jobs and do it on Houston Street. Again, that connection idea. So it's very, very important. The economic impact. You know, we took a look at Broadway and the opportunities that this development could lead to, and it's about $55 to $64 million fiscal impact over a 20-year period. So when you think about investments that are being made about our community and have the opportunity for a return to come through development, through job creation, Joe brings up a great point. There's this balancing act between as you progress and as you construct and you bring more people to an area, you have the challenge of how do you move them? How do you move them comfortably? But they want to move via walking. We have Vision Zero as an objective in our community of no pedestrian fatalities. And so how do you create a street that can accommodate pedestrians, can accommodate bikers, and align with the spirit and the intent of Vision Zero? We see all of that happening with this Broadway opportunity.
We see people today, they're on one side of Broadway. They want to get to the other side of Broadway, maybe to go to the museum or the park or something. It's, you know, they're taking their lives in their hands sometimes because it's not a pedestrian-friendly corridor. And so, Joe Bravo, do you see your residents, if it became more pedestrian-friendly, then that would be a benefit to the people who in the neighborhood association?
Sure, absolutely. I think there is pain before pleasure in this particular case because of all the things that are going on. And if we're involved and we understand it as well as we've already having discourse, and certainly it becomes more of ours versus something that's being put upon us. And that's true for every quarter, everything in SA tomorrow. You're going to have to do that with the community to make sure they buy in.
Okay, and our phone line is 210-614-8980 if you want to join our conversation as we talk about the future of San Antonio's Broadway Street corridor. Marilyn is on the line. And hi, Marilyn. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi there. I'm really glad to join y'all this afternoon. I am looking forward to Broadway being a more attractive avenue. Have some concerns about the traffic because at times during the day, obviously, it's very congested. And if people are trying to come into that corridor for the new restaurants and whatever that are being planned, we already have significant traffic problems on Josephine, Grayson, Mulberry, Hildebrand, and 281. So I'm concerned with how are people going to get to Broadway, and then also if we use some of the ideas, for instance, the park, if we take a lane away and we park cars there out towards the street, then the two lanes are impacted that would be left, as they are up in Alamo Heights. There's a lovely coffee shop and there's parking in what used to be a traffic lane. But if you have a large truck or other vehicle, you can't really use the next lane, which crowds the traffic from what used to be three lanes into one. So I just want to know, please, how are we going to get more traffic on the feeder streets? How are we going to get more people to Broadway to enjoy it? And how can we do it without having those types of parking problems? Thank you so much.
All right, Marilyn, thank you for those great points. So geography is a problem for this area. We've got Fort Sam Houston on one side, which we can't really use for traffic flow. And then we have Breckenridge Park, and we have other things. It's just and getting to the east-west corridors are not good. You know, Mulberry is can only do so much with probably – you know, that's cutting right through Breckenridge Park, not good. And Hildebrand is the major corridor that leads into to Broadway, and that's overused as well. That needs some help. So, Mike Frisbee, what's happening here?
Yeah, David, Marilyn brings up good points here. And if we strictly looked at the traditional way of doing projects like this, we'd be widening Broadway. Add another lane each way, maybe two each way. Let's keep going. Because this city's going to grow, but we're not looking at it that way. We're looking at how do we manage traffic, and part of the studies will address what Marilyn's talking about is where do you have on-street parking, where does it not work? If you're going to take, you know, instead of seven lanes, if you have two each way with the median, how does that work with parking and traffic? And the turning movements at intersections are really the key at the signalized intersections. You got to have those turning movements because that's usually the bottleneck right there, Josephine and so forth. So, you know, this is not going to eliminate congestion because this area doesn't have that traditional grid system where you can spread traffic on a lot of streets. There's not a lot of options. So we're going to have congestion. It's how you mitigate that and balance it with the rest of the desires of the area, which is how, you don't want to cross a sea of asphalt when you're a pedestrian. You want to have safe crossing points. You want to have safe places for bicyclists as well and mass transit. So it's going to be a balance. There's no way that traffic's not going to have some congestion related to Broadway. It's there today, and it's going to continue to have some for sure.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. So do most people use Broadway either to just for short trips to get onto Broadway, do something there? They don't really use it for long cross-town driving. That's what the highway 281 is for, which I remember in the 1970s how people fought that so hard, and eventually, you know, like we got that built, but that was controversial for a long time, just like this is today. Eventually things will work out and will prove to be this is the best thing for the city. So how are people using Broadway? Is it really for crosstown traffic, or is it just for people using to get onto Broadway businesses and things?
You have some people in the Alamo Heights area that are trying to get downtown, and they'll use Broadway to go through to get as part of their commute. But it's because of the limited distance and so forth, it's not a crosstown commute type corridor. So now that it's redeveloping, you have a lot more residents there that are going to and from, and a lot more businesses, and of course the museums and so forth. So it's becoming more of an origin destination type corridor versus a commute corridor.
Okay, another caller, Jonathan. And Jonathan, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I want to follow up on a point that I heard the woman from Government Hill bring up, but I never heard anyone address. The rising property values are going to increase property taxes, but you've got senior citizens in some of these communities who bought their homes 20, 30 years ago expecting to be able to live out their final days, and now they're all on fixed incomes, and what's going to happen when they can no longer afford the property taxes? Are they really going to be forced out of their homes, or will the city do some kind of tax program to help them pay property tax?
Okay, Jonathan, thank you for the call. I know that there are freezes that are for senior citizens on property taxes. Joe Bravo?
Well, yeah, at 65, there is a freeze. So they have some of that going on. People that are in my age, which is not there yet, we continue to see the rise of that. And it's tremendous.
Okay. And Paul, we get another caller in. And Paul, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
I'm using Broadway on a bike a lot of times because it's really almost I have to get from Government Hill up through Alamo Heights because of the Army base and some other things. Dumps me on the Broadway. So I understand that we're going to make it a complete street, or we're talking about making a complete street and including bike infrastructure. What I've seen is for bike infrastructure other places, sometimes it's put there by people that don't really understand what bikers really need. And, like, if we look on Avenue B, we can see how that kind of doesn't work back right there by the Pearl. I'm wondering, how are we going to get those of us that are cycling and in the cycling community and advocates for it, how are we going to get involved in the planning?
Okay, all right, great call. And so do you want to answer that, Mike Frisbee?
Sure, that's a very important part of the design process, is getting that input. We have had input to date in just the conceptual ideas. And we do nowadays, rather than just striping a bike lane on a busy street, we're doing more and more cycle track, which is physically, physical
separation.
Right,
so it's set away from traffic. Okay, right. We're going to talk more about this when we come back from the break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies on Broadway. You know the song? Well, on Broadway in San Antonio, you can get to Brackenridge Park. You can get to the Whitty Museum. You can get to the Salmon, the San Antonio Museum of Art. You keep going up the road a little bit, you're going to get to the McNay. There's the Children's Museum. All sorts of destinations that really highlight San Antonio's arts and culture and heritage. What good is it if you can't make it up the road and it's all jacked up because there's too many cars or not enough lanes and parking's blocking the road? What are we going to do to make sure that Broadway corridor is the corridor that's going to highlight San Antonio, connect downtown in a way that will be attractive to the tech block generation? What do you want to see out of Broadway and still respect and help the people that live right there in those adjoining neighborhoods? Give us a call. We want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980. And a call here from Fran. Fran, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I live in Mankey Park. We're surrounded by Broadway and what's to the west of it, New Braunfels and what's to the east of it, which are all impassable because it's Fort Sam, it's the park. There are no through streets. New Braunfels ends at Fort Sam Houston Gate, which is locked. We are hemmed in. Broadway is our only thoroughfare. In addition, those who come from the north and want to avoid Broadway because it's already very congested, take New Braunfels and then zoom through our neighborhood, which unfortunately, because it's San Antonio, has 30-mile-an-hour speed zones in the residential streets. They should all be 20 or 25. But besides that, narrowing Broadway, placing bicycles even more on Broadway will completely choke my neighborhood and the people who live in it. Many of us do not ride bikes here and there. I'm trying to figure out how parents are going to take their 2 and 3 year old kids on the bike to the Dozium. I'm very concerned about narrowing Broadway, and I wonder why Avenue B isn't a bike thoroughfare. I mean, we have a street that is available for bicycling. At least half the street is. It's done that way in parts of Avenue B. Why not do it the rest of the way? Why choke Broadway? Why choke my neighborhood and Westport and Government Hill? I don't understand. I still can't figure out why the Downtown Association is so big on this unless they want people to live downtown and find it difficult to get back and forth from commuter areas in Alamo Heights and Terrell Hills to downtown to force development. I think a lot of this is simply forcing development on an area that could develop naturally, but there's a big push, and there has been a big push, okay, including the Pearl,
right,
by
friend.
The city.
Fran, we got your points, and I thank you so much for calling in with those great points. So let me get Mike Frisbee from the City of San Antonio's Department of Transportation and Capital Improvements Department. Is that to say that this is an effort to narrow Broadway? Is that a good representation of what this is?
Well, Fran brings up a couple of great points. One is by state law, if there's no speed limit signs, the speed limit's 30. It doesn't make sense to us as a city. There's laws that are being considered, legislation being considered by the legislature now that would change that to that prima facie speed limit, that if the signs aren't there, it's 25 miles an hour.
But can't the city just put up signs? We could put up signs, because I know that other communities have lowered the speed limits.
We can, but a lot of streets, of course. But the one point I want to make is, if you're coming from a neighborhood to an arterial street like Broadway, and you want to make a left turn across three lanes of traffic versus two lanes of traffic, it is easier to get out when it isn't such a wide length. To get across, make a left turn across three lanes of through traffic, it's almost impossible. So you end up making right turns. In a lot of cases, when you get a busy street, you end up making the right turns anyway, a couple of rights instead of a left, because you just can't get out. It's too busy. But the wider the street, the harder it is to get out.
So we do have that Avenue B, which Fran mentioned. Yep. Why not make that a bicycle highway?
Well, that is the idea. The concept here is that you use Alamo and Avenue B potentially as the bike corridors for a stretch till you get up by the Whitty Museum. And then you've got the greater width. We've got, as Tony mentioned earlier, there's 100 foot of right-of-way. Then you can have more space for bicyclists as you go north. So you don't necessarily, you know, the design's still going to happen, but that is a potential concept, that the dedicated bike space is not on Broadway further south. It's on Avenue B and Alamo Street.
There's been some comments made about the the current bike facility on Avenue B, and we've engaged in dialogue with members, not every member of the bike community certainly, but providing feedback to us. So the opportunities to do what we can to improve that facility on Avenue B. And then, as Mike mentioned, the connection back onto Broadway is really up by Toledo going up to Hildebrand.
Right, but even where Avenue B does go parallel to Broadway, I still see a lot of bicyclists on Broadway. So is it because of lack of signage, or they don't want to be corralled, or what's the situation?
I think people like to go where people like to go on occasion, and you can put the most wonderful bike facility in the world, and there's going to be someone who is going to decide that they want to go into a different place. So that's not an excuse. It is the reality that there are some people that are very comfortable riding their bicycle on Broadway, and there are others that are not.
Okay, let's go to the caller, Eileen. And Eileen, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I was wondering, if they close Broadway, what will they do? What will that do to the Battle of Flowers parade? Because they go right up to the Alamo.
Sure, but no one's talking about closing Broadway, Eileen. That closing is not the word we're using. We're talking about sort of redevelopment.
Right.
Huh?
Redevelopment.
Yes, ma'am.
That'll continue.
Right, so we'll get to, that's a great question, because that was on my list as well. So, Tony Piazzi, you know, I saw your conceptual drawings. You had like some grassy medians in the middle of Broadway. How does that work?
Well, certainly we are very sensitive to, and the individuals that have been involved in this project, the design, are sensitive to the traditions of our community, Fiesta and the parades being incredibly important to our community and the culture of our community. And the introduction of a medium concept is not anywhere near where the parade route would be. We understand what is needed for Broadway to serve its historic function as the parade route. And the design that the conceptual design that's been put forth would have no impact on that whatsoever.
And can you address that, Mike?
Yeah, we've been partnering all the way through this process with Centro, and that's been an issue from day one. Is we've got to maintain the parades and make sure it's accounted for.
How does the parade impact your community when you have it, Joe?
Oh, it's a lot of fun. Lots of people come down there. They park on all sides and around, and certainly in our neighborhood, we get blocked. We have a way to get out past on the back. And it's great fun, and it's a great opportunity to see, you know, the parade up close.
So the city works with you guys to make sure that you're not totally inconvenienced by the parade. So why not think that that same sort of cooperation can continue forth?
It can. I guess my concerns have to do with some of the traffic studies or lack thereof. And I want informed input into some of these designs. And city policy needs to change to in order to do that.
All right. Another caller, Holly. Hi, Holly. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
All I can say is try driving through Broadway during the lunch hour rush. It is so bottlenecked. There's so many cars trying to change lanes constantly because getting through Broadway during those hours, rush hour, is almost impossible. Any biker that is interested in trying to use Broadway as a thoroughfare for bike riding or jogging, I mean, you're putting your life in your hands. I think that it's important to continue to consider alternative modes of transportation, perhaps by creating a completely safe bike riding path for bike riders to encourage bike riding to happen. As far as traffic goes, it is, I mean, I was on Broadway, and right after Hildebrand, they just detour. They put a lot of detour blockades on all of the roads, the neighborhood roads that are connected to Broadway, so then some people could take an alternative route, which is New Braunfels.
Sure.
And they just block it off.
Okay, Holly, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Expressing the concern that there's a lot of people trying to use Broadway. And so with this development we're talking about, it's actually going to make it more usable, even though there are going to be fewer lanes. Is that the bottom line, Mike?
Well, safety is a big part of this project. And so designating space that's clear for cyclists, whether it's on Broadway or the parallel streets or Avenue B next to it, designated good space for pedestrians, which doesn't exist today, and designating that space for mass transit and vehicles for all modes, because we need all modes, otherwise the congestion is just going to continue to increase. So, I mean, we have seven lanes on Broadway, we don't envision seven lanes in the future, so that's reallocating space. But if we look at like a Hausman Road project that was done in the 2012 bond, you get a hike and bike path, you got two lanes each direction, proper turning lanes at the signalized intersection so you can get the left turners out of the way. And it works well. That's a 3-mile stretch, you know, some similarities there. But, yeah, it's really defining where everybody needs to be safely and then managing it the best that it can be managed.
Joe Bravo with the West Fort Alliance Neighborhood Association. Are you going to vote yes or no on Prop 1?
I'm voting yes. But with the caveat that I want to be involved through this process, because I really think that there's some great thinkers and some visionaries and that sort of thing, but there's some practicality that needs to be addressed.
And Tony Piazzi with the Central San Antonio, we get this right? How good would that be?
Well, it'd be fantastic. And we think Joe makes great points, which it was online earlier. We think Central can play an instrumental role going forward as facilitators and conveners for this public conversation, because this is everyone's community. It's everyone's downtown. And we want that to be vibrant for everyone, and we feel it's important to get that kind of input. So we look forward to continuing to work with Mike, work with Joe, and the other neighborhoods.
Okay, this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.